Stories to Remember. Stories of people, stories of human dignity and decency, told by some of America's outstanding storytellers. Today we present Jay Johnston in Watch That Play, Little Man, by Joe Archibald.
Twenty-seven to nothing. We should have taken them by at least four touchdowns.
Brother, what Garfield will do to us next week, we'll be massacred.
All right, fellas, all right. The game's over. You can't win it by staying on the field now. Back to the dressing room. I've got something to say to you.
Coach Whitman.
Yes? Oh, hello, Mr. Miner. Pretty sorry exhibition, wasn't it?
Sorry. It was disgraceful. I have a question to ask you, sir.
Yes?
There were six of our best players on the bench during the entire game. Why?
No, not six, Mr. Miner. Seven. The best back Hamden ever had wasn't even in uniform.
Coach Whitman, I have the impression that you deliberately...
Threw the game, Mr. Miner? Is that what you were going to say?
Under the circumstances, what else can I say?
There was something at stake on that football field, a little more important than winning a game, Mr. Miner.
Oh, I'd like to know what it is. Suppose you tell me in the headmaster's office in exactly 1 hour, and I'm speaking as chairman of the Board of Trustees.
I expected that. A losing football team is a pretty serious thing at Hamden. But I'd gambled on something, and when Hamden lost, I'd won part of that gamble. I'd know whether I'd won it all when I got into the dressing room. But win or lose, it looked as though Hamden would have another football coach before the season was over. The trouble began the first day this kid, Tom Jefferson, showed up for football practice. He was fast on his feet, a natural ball handler, and smart. The kind of a player a coach dreams about and sometimes gets. For my money, he was all we needed to lick Garfield. Not everyone felt that way, though.
If you ask me, Hamden's letting the bars down too far this year.
Listen, Jefferson won't last a month on or off the football field. Take it from me.
Yes, and just how are you going to get rid of him, Huck?
Get rid of him? In our own way, of course. In our own way.
I didn't pay too much attention to that kind of talk. Jefferson looked as though he could take care of himself. After the first couple of weeks, I put him on the first squad. Beating Garfield, I thought, was the most important thing at Hamden, and if Jefferson could help us win, I was sure he'd have the team and the school back of him.
Okay. If you don't aim to block for me, Hutch, I wish you'd let me know.
What do you mean by that crack, Jefferson?
You know what I mean. It's the fourth time this afternoon.
What's going on here? What's the matter, Bouchard?
Not a thing, Coach, but Jefferson here's got an idea as a gripe coming.
Well, maybe he has. I'm not blind.
If he's a ball carrier, then why doesn't he
carry
it?
All right, that's enough, Bouchard. I suppose you get in there and play football. You want us to lick Garfield, don't you? Or don't you? It didn't do any good. Every time Jefferson carried the ball, something happened to his blockers. Either they got in his way or folded like wilted lilies, and he hit the line alone. The kid was good. Once when the line stopped him, he reversed his field and went through the whole team for a touchdown, alone. Then they got him on the next play, and I had to help him off the field.
I'm all right now, Coach. Thanks.
Now, take it easy for a while, Jefferson.
Coach, I guess it'd be the best thing all around if I just stopped playing football, wouldn't it?
Oh, now, wait a minute, Tom. I'll talk to the boys.
I'd like to play, but... Well, I came here for an education. That's most important, and I don't want to cause any trouble.
I see.
I don't like to kid myself, Coach. Football's just no go for a Negro here at Hamden. Thanks for everything. I'll turn in my uniform.
I felt like slapping some of those kids around when I saw him limp off the field, but I didn't call him back. I told myself it was for the good of the team, and for a while it looked as though I'd done right. There was smoother play, more teamwork. That's what I thought until one night Vince Warner, my freshman quarterback, came over to the house.
Oh, but, Coach, we need Jefferson out there. We'll back you up if you tell him he can come back.
Well, suppose I did. What kind of team would we have with all that dissension over just one fellow?
I don't get it, Coach. Why is Hamden different from any other school? Look at Brett Holland and Buddy Young and Jackie Robinson.
Well, one day Hamden will come of age, too.
But it isn't just Jefferson, Coach. It's Kopsak and Sadati, Odell and Epstein. Me, too, for being on their side.
What are you driving at, Vince?
Huck Bouchard and Ralph Miner and some of the others. They're just too exclusive, that's all. They're out to get us now.
Come now, Vince, don't take them too seriously. Some of the boys may have a little more money, but they want to beat Garfield as much as you and I do.
Well, what about Jefferson, then?
Well, that was different. You just keep battling out there, Vince. We'll straighten everything out and give Garfield a beating. Just wait and see. That's what I said, but after Vince left, I sat there thinking. Thinking that a man could love truth and justice, and at the same time not be equal to living them. A man had his obligations, his family, his future to think of. After all, I was hired as a coach, not as a social reformer or a professor of psychology. All I had to do was put a football team on the field. But during the next few days, I began to wonder.
Hey, Epstein.
You all right, Epstein?
Hey, water boy.
Hey, what are you guys trying to do? Kill him?
Is it our fault if he can't take it, Coach?
Copsack at guard got the same treatment, and Sadati at end. There was nothing I could put my finger on except that it never seemed to happen to any of the exclusives. I let it ride until we played Drexel in the first game of the season. The score should have been 40 to nothing. The best we could do was 13 to nothing. The team wasn't working together. I called Huck Bouchard and Ralph Miner into my office.
But it was just the first game of the season, and we won, didn't we?
Sure, but Garfield beat Drexel 46 to nothing.
Oh, it's just luck, that's all, Coach.
Just luck, hmm? Now, look, fellas, suppose we talk turkey. What's going on?
Well, Coach, there's a lot of dead wood in the line this year.
Yes? Who, for instance?
Well, take fellas like Sadati and Copsack, Odell and Epstein, for instance.
And while we're on the subject, Vince Warner in the backfield.
You fellas really think we'd have a better team with those fellas on the bench, don't you?
Sure. Well, they don't really belong here at Hamden, you know that, Coach. Parents can pay the tuition, but, well, you know what I mean.
No, not quite. Keep talking.
Huck's right, Coach. Hamden has a tradition. What do guys like them care about it? They're just here to get what they can out of the school.
You fellas ever take a look at Garfield's lineup? Here, listen. O'Brien, Thorwaldson, Kowalski, Smith, Pravilla, Goldberg. Does that mean anything to you?
Sure. Garfield will take anybody. What's that got to do with Hamden? No kidding, Coach. You get rid of some of those guys on the squad and we'll have a team that'll pull together. That'll smear Garfield from pillar to post. And we'll do it the Hamden way.
Well, it was out in the open now. The Jefferson business all over again. Only now it had spread wider, and I knew I couldn't overlook it any longer. I tried to make them see it, but it was no go. They had their say, and they got up to leave. Maybe they thought they were out of earshot. Maybe they didn't care whether I heard them or not.
Oh, we don't have to worry about him. He knows where his three squares are coming from. He'll do it the Hamden way or go someplace else.
And I'll tell you something else. The Alumni Association is with us.
There was a sting in that crack that lasted all week. The team loafed through scrimmage. There were nasty cracks going back and forth. It wasn't a team at all, but a pack of cats and dogs. I made my decision. Friday afternoon, before the Exxon game, I called the team together.
Okay, everybody, over here. Coach wants to talk to us.
All right, fellas, now let's simmer down. I've got the lineup for the Exxon game.
Good. Let's have it. Come on. What
is it? The backfield is the same as against Drexel last week, except that Jackman goes in at quarterback for Warner. In the line, Russell in place of Greenough, White in place of Copsack, Beecher in place of Odell, Porter in place of Epstein, Adams instead of Sadat.
Sounds like a good team.
And just remember one thing. Garfield beat Exxon last week by a score of 41 to nothing. You've got to do at least that well, or Garfield's going to lick us next week. So it's up to you.
Oh, we can do it now, Coach.
Okay, now take your showers and get plenty of sleep tonight. You're due in the dressing room at 1:30 sharp tomorrow. Like it, Bouchard?
Couldn't be better, Coach. We'll wipe the field with Exxon.
You don't have a thing to worry about, Coach. Exxon is in the bag.
Oh. That was the toughest football game I ever sat through. I'll give them credit. The exclusives played better than they ever did before and fought like wildcats. But Exxon tore our line to pieces. 7-0. 14-0. 21-0.
Coach, for the love of Mike, let me get in there. White's out on his feet.
Now, stay where you are, Kupsak. Meade, get in there for White.
Oh, but he's a third stringer, Coach.
Sit down, Epstein. I know what I'm doing. Take it easy.
Oh, brother, another touchdown. 27-0.
It was as simple as that and as difficult. The exclusives wanted an exclusive team, and I gave it to them. And Hamden lost, 27-0. There was a lesson in it, and I wondered if they had learned it. If not, well, I wouldn't have much to say to Mr. Miner and the headmaster. I stood for a moment before the dressing room door and opened it.
Okay, what are you sitting there for? Go ahead and say it. You, Sadati, Epstein, Kupsak. You, Warner. Go ahead, you've got us over the barrel. Bang away.
What do you expect us to say, Bouchard?
Maybe you think it was fun sitting on that bench, watching Exxon beating the tar out of us.
Kupsak, did you say us?
Sure, he said us. Hamden, that's us, too.
I don't get it. We lost a game for Hamden. You guys didn't even get in, and you're saying us.
What's so hard to understand? Us, Odell, Kupsak, Epstein, Sadati. You guys, the team, that's Hamden, that's us.
You mean you're not going to do anything about it?
Yeah, I'm going to turn in my uniform. Studying comes too hard for me if all I do is sit on the bench.
Yeah, and I won't be around much longer either. I'm putting into a transfer to another school. Hamden's too exclusive for me.
Oh, now, wait a minute, fellas. You can't do that. We need you. If you guys leave, Garfield will... Look, Vince. We're sorry, Ralph and I and all the others. We made a mistake.
He's right. Now, don't take it out on Hamden. You guys have to stay. We've got to beat Garfield.
Okay. But what about Jefferson?
Jefferson? Sure. Why not? Goes to Hamden. Sure. If we're going to beat Garfield, we'll need everybody we can get.
I closed the dressing room door. They didn't need me, and I didn't have to make a speech. I started for the headmaster's office, and I wasn't worrying about Mr. Miner. He'd understand now. I was thinking about the Hamden lineup for the Garfield game next week. Jefferson, Warner, Epstein, Sadati, Kupsak, Greeno, Bouchard, Odell, Lumsden, Williams. Their names sounded like music. Good American music in my ears. I don't know whether we'll beat Garfield, but I do know we'll put the best team, the very best team we have on the field against them. And I have a hunch. Yes, sir, I have a hunch.
Stories to Remember is a Lest We Forget presentation of the Institute for Democratic Education. It is offered as a reminder that democratic safeguards against discrimination and prejudice are among our major bulwarks against communism, fascism, or any other form of tyranny. Jay Jostin was starred in today's story, Watch That Play, Little Man, by Joe Archibald, originally published in Popular Sports Magazine. The script was written by Jack Bentcover, directed by Earl McGill, and produced by Harold Franklin. Listen in again next week at this same time for another Story to Remember.